Well, amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn with me to Romans chapter 5. And in the last couple of weeks, we have seen that what God does in Christ is He brings us into a state of peace with God. Apart from Christ, we are at enmity with God. We're enemies of God. And that's why today, if you don't have Christ in your heart, you don't have peace. Because you are in a state of war. You're in a position that is against God. And you may say, well, but preacher, that's not my intention. I don't want to be that. And I understand that. A few of us would say, I want to identify with the devil. He's my father, and I want to serve him. No, most of us wouldn't say that. Most of us wouldn't say, oh, I'm against God. No. If anything, we might say, well, I'm kind of in the middle. I'm neutral. I'm not really, But the fact is, there's no neutral ground. Sorry. It'd be nice if you had a nice neutral place you could live in. There's no neutrality. Either you're for God or you're against God. Either consciously or unconsciously, subconsciously. But what God has done is He's brought us to Himself through Jesus Christ. We've been justified, verse 1 tells us. And as a result of His justifying us, making us right with Himself, now we are in a state of peace with Him. It's not that we have His peace in us, it's that we have peace with Him. We're no longer at war. We're no longer at odds. We're no longer enemies. We've been reconciled. And so what God is doing is He's reconciling us to Himself, and then He's reconciling us to each other. Isn't that sweet? Life can be so hard. Life can be so difficult and painful and challenging. It can be tough. But man, it's a blessing and it's encouragement when you have a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ that you know loves you with all their heart. In spite of your flaws, in spite of your failures. I slept right through men's breakfast this morning. I mean, I guess my alarm went off at some point. I slept right through it. Some of you did too. And you know what? I showed up and those guys didn't even give me too hard a time. Not really. So, well, Frank said good afternoon, but had it coming, I guess. But you know what? It's good when you have brothers and sisters in Christ who've got your back. And you don't have to worry about, am I perfect enough? Am I good enough? Are they going to like me today? Are they going to be okay with me today? Man, that's a miserable way to live life. And one of the benefits of being a Christian, being a saved person, is that you can have the people around you become closer to you than anything you've ever known before. And in Christ, that's what God does within His church family. He brings us into a fellowship that is closer even than our own family a lot of times. And more blessed, more enjoyable sometimes than our own family is. And that's kind of weird when you think about it, but yet it's true. And it's a blessing. Well, we have peace with God. Once you have peace with God, then you can begin to have peace with your wife. You can begin to have peace with your husband or your children, your parents even. Some of y'all didn't know that was possible. Well, amen. Well, then last time we saw that because we have peace with God, we've been given His peace through Christ, that now also we have access by Him. Through Christ, we have access to God. We have access that we can go right to the very throne of God. We just sang, before the throne of God. Well, you and I have access. Before, that was not possible. And if you don't have Christ in your heart, you don't have access to the throne of God. And you may say, well, but preacher, I pray. Yes, but you don't have access to the throne of God. You can't come into God's presence like you need to because you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can be saved. You can have access. We've been granted access to the very throne of God. It is by faith. And in that next phrase there, you'll notice it says, into this grace wherein we stand. Into this grace. We've been granted access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And so, this morning, we are here together in the presence of God to hear from Him, to worship Him, to praise Him, to glorify Him. But we, as Christians, if you're saved, if you've been born again, then you are able today to stand before Him in grace. The Bible speaks of being saved as being in Christ. You know, it's just like this, we'll say that this room represents Jesus. And before I was saved, I was outside of Christ. You know, this mic works outside of the room. Some of you didn't, if you didn't know that, should have been here Wednesday night a week ago. You'd have known that. I wandered all over the church, whole church grounds and broadcasting live. And anyway, but before I came to Christ, I was outside of Him. I didn't have the life of God. I didn't have peace with God. I was outside of Christ. But when I came to Jesus Christ, the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And when I came to Christ, I came through the door of Christ Jesus. And now I am in Christ. And the Bible says that I stand today in grace. And grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. If you want a way to just to put that. It is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is that special gift of God that He gives to us. And it is free and it is unearned. That's right. You're not going to get good enough to get the grace of God. Some people will say, well, preacher, I'll get saved, but I'm not going to do it until I can live it. Because I don't want to be a hypocrite. Like all them other church members down there. The only problem with that thinking is you'll never live it. You will never live it. You'll never get there. It's a nice thought. It's a good idea. But you have no power within you to live it. And you'll never be able to live it like you need to live it. The only way you can live it is turn it over to Jesus Christ and let Him live it in you and through you. And once you do that, then now you have power to live it. Now you have strength to live it. But apart from that, you don't. Well, the Bible says we are saved by the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9 give us that thought, and it is an amazing thought. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so, when we think about God's grace, well, it is unmerited favor. Okay? I mean, it's sort of like, you know, I usually kid most of our guys, well, all of our guys, and I tell them, you know, you guys married way above your station in life. And most of them are right there with me. They agree. They know it's true. And if they don't acknowledge it, it's still true. Anyway, but you know, when your wife, that girl, Brother Gary, when you knelt down on one knee or however it was that you proposed to Kathy, when you asked her to be your bride, And she said yes to you. Well, I'm going to tell you, that was a gift. And every one of us guys who've been through that, it was a gift. And honestly, we didn't deserve it. Well, grace is a gift that God gives to us we don't deserve. You know, if anything, what I deserve is punishment for all the junk I've done, all the sin I've done, all the wrong things I've done, all the ways I've broken God's laws and man's laws. All the things that I've done, I ought to be punished for those things. But God put all of that on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know what grace really is, look at the cross. If you really want to understand grace, go to the cross. Just go to the cross and look up into the face and the eyes of that man hanging there, battered and beaten and bruised and spit on and just absolutely horribly, the Bible says, horribly disfigured. It says you couldn't even hardly tell he was a man. He was so badly beaten. I mean, they literally, physically just abused him as far as you could. But that was nothing compared to what he did for you and me. He took our sins. He took the darkest, blackest, ugliest stuff that we've ever committed in life. I mean, just things that were so wrong. And some of it, I mean, as we look back at our lives, are there not moments in your life when you just kind of cringe to think about how you were, what you said, what you did? I do. I mean, it just is embarrassing. I don't even like to think about it. And thank the Lord, I've been forgiven and I don't have to think about it. Now, I think it's good to know where you came from, but it's not good to live there and dwell there and just, you know, camp out on all that stuff. That's no good. Well, notice again in verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And so, you know, we looked a little bit last time that, you know, who can stand in the presence of a holy God? Who can enter into the presence of a holy God? You know, and Psalm 24 told us, you know, only he who has a clean hands and a pure heart. And, you know, the only way we can have that is Christ. The only way we can have that, it's not, you know, changing and turning over a new leaf and quitting doing this and that and the other. It's giving our lives to Jesus Christ and trusting in Him. And I want to just say to you today, if you're saved, you've been saved by grace. There is no other salvation. And so, anybody who wants to work their way to heaven, anybody who wants to just be good enough and be a good person, be a good neighbor, be kind, you know, to old ladies and animals and all the other, I mean, that's all well and good, but it's not enough. And you can never be saved. You know, Billy Graham couldn't be saved by how good he was. He came to the cross and he was saved. He was a sinner just like you and me. The Apostle Paul, as great as he was, he had to be saved. And I mean, God broke that man on the road to Damascus. God just broke into his life and arrested him on the spot. Just stopped him right there where he was in his tracks. And Paul had, you know, Saul at that time, he had to cry out, "Oh, Lord, who are you?" And Jesus said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." And when he got up, he was blind. And you remember the story, Acts chapter 9. God told Ananias, "Hey, Ananias, why don't you go pray for a guy?" "Okay." His name's Saul. "Whoa, what? I've heard about this guy, Lord. He's dangerous. He's arresting Christians. He's causing people to be put into jail. In fact, he came to Damascus for that very reason. You want me to go pray for this man?" "Go." And he went. And the scales fell off of his eyes and he was saved. He was changed. He got up and he was baptized and he started preaching Jesus. And everybody who knew him was shocked. said, what has happened to this guy? What has happened to this man? Well, I'm going to tell you, when Jesus comes in, as Brother Ronnie would say, He chases the money changers out of your temple. And He will set you free. And He'll give you grace. You stand in grace when you're saved. And folks, the idea of that is you stand before God. You're not come creeping in, crawling in, you know, trembling. And I mean, you stand before God. And it's nothing about you. It's all about Him. Amen. But you have a place to stand today as a believer in Jesus Christ. You are saved by the grace of God. And you stand in the grace of God, and you are kept by the grace of God. You know, we're saved by grace through faith. Our part is to believe. Okay? That's what our part is. Our part is to believe in Jesus Christ. And it does not mean that we simply nod our head and say, oh, yeah, I do believe in Jesus. He, you know, Son of God and all that. Yeah, I do believe in that. No, it's much more than just a head knowledge of who God is. It is a heart knowledge that He is worthy of your very life. And when you believe, you don't just nod your head to a collection of facts and intellectual notes about Him, but it is that you humble yourself and you surrender yourself to Him. And the word that we often use to describe that is called repentance. And repentance and faith are like two sides of the same coin. You can't truly believe in Jesus without repenting of your sin, turning from your life, turning from all your own efforts to be good enough to get God's favor and gain heaven. So this morning, we have a very precious privilege. And it is that we stand this morning in the grace of God because we are in Christ. And, you know, it's an amazing thing, but salvation is all about what God does. And we sometimes express it in ways that don't really adequately describe. You know, people, well, oh, so-and-so found the Lord. Oh, really? I didn't know the Lord was lost. Well, I mean, you know, we say things like that. And no, we didn't find the Lord. He found us. And, you know, we'll say things like that, but what we need to remember is that salvation is of God. And it is His work. And all we're to do is to believe, repent and believe. Okay, that's the work that we're to do. You say, well, that's really not a work. No, it isn't. It's just a change in our heart and our attitude, a turning to God so that we can trust Him. And today, if you've never done that, I want to invite you to open up your heart to Christ and trust Him as your Savior. He is good beyond what we can even describe. He is better than anything that we know on this earth. And your relationship with Him, well, it doesn't mean that all your problems will go away. It doesn't mean that everything will just be all better tomorrow. But it does mean that He will be with you through everything you go through. Every trial and every difficulty and every struggle, He will help you. Well, we are saved by grace and we are kept by grace. Because some people have struggled with this idea, well, you know, what if I mess up? What if I sin? What if I sleep through men's prayer breakfast? What then? Am I still good enough to go to heaven? You were never good enough to go to heaven. You've never done anything that would get you to heaven. God has done it all. And if you get there, it is by His grace. And so you don't have to worry about, well, what if I do this? What if I do that? The Bible says if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. And the Bible says old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. One of the neat things God does when we get saved is He gives us a new life. You know, that's one of these things, these young people, they play these video games, you know, and they're just, you know, and their little man, their little guy, whatever it is, you know, gets killed. Well, it's no big deal, is it? Because it's just going to respawn. And they've got a new life. And they can just go on and play their game. And they shoot them up and get shot. And then they start again. And that's not real. Okay? I'm just saying. But you know what God does do? Is that when we come to Him, He exchanges what is worn out, what is tired, what is weary, what is hurting, what is lost, what is undone in sin and just tore up and ravaged by all of our wrong stuff that we've done. A while ago, I walked back to the sound room and my microphone pack here was flashing red. And I knew that meant my battery was gone. And I walked back there and I handed Frank that old battery. And he handed me a brand new one. And I plugged it in. Man, I feel so much better now. Okay, it didn't help me. But you know, it's exactly what God does when we come to Him. You just bring what you are to God. You just bring what you are to Christ and He gives you a new life for your old one. And it's an amazing thing because we don't deserve it. We haven't done anything that He should do that. But He loves us this much. And then He keeps us in His grace. He saves us by grace. And He keeps us by His grace. And then everything we do in grace. We serve in grace. You know what the Bible says? The Bible tells us that the grace you have received is the grace you're to show to others. Amen. Well, preacher, you just don't understand. Oh, I think I do kind of understand. I may not know exactly what your circumstance is, but oh, folks, I'm going to tell you. Jesus loved you so much that He carried the ugliness of your sin on the cross as He hung there, paid a price that He didn't deserve so that you could be set free. Forgave everything. And today, if there's anything you're holding on to against your brother, your sister, somebody, your family, whoever it is, and you're not willing to forgive them, you're going to hold on to bitterness and anger and that grudge and that mentality of well, he did me wrong. Whatever it is, I want to encourage you to realize you've been called to give the same grace you received. How would you like it if God forgave you like you forgive others? How would that be? How would it be if every morning when you got up knowing that God was mad at you? He was upset. Now that would be a real problem because in a heartbeat, in a moment's time, He could make you a little greasy spot on the side of the road out here someplace. Forgive. Give the grace that you received. Live in grace. You stand in grace. Live in it. Let it flow. Let it go. Don't try to hold on to your little life and your little stuff that you think you've got to defend yourself or be somebody or whatever it is. Let it go. Live in grace. Forgive. There's freedom there. There's freedom there. There's joy there. And there's peace there. Amen. Well, He says that... He says, this grace wherein we stand. Well, I want to encourage you today. If you're saved at all, it is God's grace. If you're still saved, it is God's grace. And if you're serving Him, it is God's grace. If you're living for Him, it is God's grace. He's the one who's enabling you, helping you, strengthening you, causing you to stand. And please don't ever miss that. Forget that. It's too important. The moment we begin to think that somehow it's on us, it's all about us, we're going to miss the point. I want to give you a scripture. And I'm going to close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. And this passage is on giving. Yes. Money. Yeah. All of that stuff. But there's a principle here that gives us a picture, a little bit of an idea of what grace is. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." Oh, listen. God sent His Son, left the glories and wonders and splendors of heaven, left the wealth and the wonders and the amazing things that He had there, surrendered it all, gave it all up, the praise and worship of angels, the acknowledgement of all heaven of who He was. And He came to this earth and He was mistreated by people who were miserable little backstabbing kinds of folks that we know as well. And He loved them. He didn't just come to spite them. He didn't just come to get on to them or punish them. He loved them. And He gave Himself so that we, through His poverty, might become rich. Folks, that's the essence of grace. Because we don't, any of us, deserve it. But it's there for us if you'll receive it. Let's bow our heads. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. We're going to have a time to consider what God is saying to your heart. And if you need today to respond to what God is saying, I want to invite you to answer His call this morning. It could be today God is speaking to your heart and He's saying you need to be saved. And I want to tell you, you can be saved. But it's going to come when you surrender yourself, when you quit fighting and you give yourself to God. And it's very simple to do. You can do it in a simple prayer. You can pray and just tell God. But it has to come from your heart. It cannot be something that is just words. It has to come from your heart. If you'd like to do that today, bow your head and just pray a prayer, something like this. Say, "Dear Lord, I know I'm lost." Just tell Him, "I know I need to be saved. Father, would You forgive me? Lord, cleanse me. And wash me. I believe You died on that cross for me, Jesus. And today, I receive Your grace. Save me. Change me. That's not certain words You say. It's the attitude of your heart when you turn from yourself, from your sin, from your whatever, everything, and you turn to Christ. That's it. I want to invite you, if you've never done that before, open your heart to Him now. It could be that you have prayed that before and you've truly believed in Him, but you've never followed Him in baptism. Let others know. I want to invite you today to come. Maybe you prayed that prayer with me a moment ago. You truly meant it. I want to invite you to come because you need to confess Christ. The Bible says we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth that He is Lord And I just know today that there's somebody here that God's working on your heart. There's some believers here, and you need to give grace as you've received it. And the Bible goes so far as to say that we'll not be forgiven if we don't forgive. So I want to encourage you this morning, if that's something in your heart, let it go. Forgive through the grace of God. Forgive. Trust. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do. Maybe there's some things in your life that just aren't adding up, that aren't right. You need to get right today. I invite you to come. This altar's here. Just come and kneel. Pour out your heart to God. Father, in this moment, we just ask that You would be honored. We pray that the enemy would be bound, and God, that You would just keep him from being able to deceive or to distract or in any way hinder Your Spirit's working today. And Lord, draw us to Yourself now. Believers, if there's anyone who doesn't yet believe, help them to turn to You in this moment and to be saved. Father, whatever needs are here, God, pour out Your presence, pour out Your Spirit, we pray.